Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Coming up, we're going to go to Rome, Italy. John Henderson will be calling in here in just a second from Rome, Italy. He will be giving us a shout. And the bottom line is this. I want to talk to this guy because he quit his job as a sports writer at the Denver Post. And he is chasing the American dream, right? But except he's doing it in Rome. Why did he pick Rome? How is it going? He will check in with us from Italy and give us kind of the lay of the land. And I'm curious what the American sports scene looks like now that in the time that John Henderson has been gone as a sports writer, it is the American sports scene has changed from being all about sports to being about politics, to being about the president, to being about China, to, you know. And I'm curious what his view of the sports world, the American sports world, looks like from so far away. And he's dialed in now. You know, maybe it's just me, but I was like, you know what? We got to get him back on the show. So John Henderson is joining us from Rome, and we've got him now. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you, John?
What time is it there?
11 o'clock.
P.M.?
Yes. It's the curvature of the earth, John.
Hey, I wanted to just catch up with you and, you know, for a few things, like for people who don't know your story, John Henderson was a phenomenal sports writer who is now working as a travel blogger, more or less, right? You're writing a blog or what do we call you, travel writer?
I'm a travel writer, a freelance travel writer. I have a travel website called Dog-Eared Passport, johnhendersontravel.com, and I have freelance travel articles. So I write about travel, food, wine, a little sports. Some politics, but mostly travel. I'm retired, so I travel any chance I get.
Walking away from sports, let's go back to, you're at the Denver Post. They're offering buyouts, or how does this come to you the first time you thought of it?
It came right before the London Olympics in 2012. What happened was, make a long story short, I lived here for 16 months from 2001 to 2003, and then fell in love with Rome. And when you fall in love with Rome, it's like falling in love with the most beautiful woman in the world, and then when you go home, you spend the rest of your life trying to find her again. So I went back to Denver, spent 11 years, and tried to move here with work, couldn't do it, so I just saved my money and retired. And so right after the 2013 football season, I just upped and quit right after Christmas.
That decision, was that scary to make that decision? No? Liberating?
No, there's no decision at all, because when I moved back, I knew I would come back here forever. And I came back to one of the best jobs in American journalism. I was a National College football writer. I was covering the Tour de France, covering the 2006 World Cup. I was covering the Olympics. I had a great gig, but every day I missed Rome. I mean, if you've ever been here, you'll understand, because the food wasn't good enough. I couldn't cook Italian food because the ingredients weren't sharp enough. Forget the wine. Every time I drank Italian wine in America, I got a headache within 2 hours. So it was a lifetime. It was a goal of mine for 11 years, and so it was just a matter of meeting the financial goal. When you retire overseas, what you do, it's kind of like bungee jumping. You got to have enough rope to get you back to keep you from dying. So, and the rope, the bungee cord in this case is money. So you need to have enough money saved up to live here without ever having to work again. So I'm basically writing for Vino money.
We're talking to John Henderson, former sports writer at the Denver Post. University of Oregon guy, right?
Yep. Class of 78. Back then, we won 11 games in 4 years. I sat through. We lost, I think it was my junior year, we lost to San Jose State 6-0 in a driving rainstorm before about maybe 18,000, 20,000 people. And John Kane, the newly appointed athletic director, said after the game, "I'd rather be whipped in a public square than watch that again." And I never thought I'd ever see Oregon do what it has done over the last 15 years.
Now, when you watch them from a distance, what does college football look like from Rome?
Well, that's funny. I haven't seen much of it because they don't carry much college football in Europe. In fact, Europeans can't get their heads around the concept of college scholarships. But this year I broke down and got ESPNplayer.com, which televises some games. I think it's the same as when I left it. I think there is no better sport in the world as far as the putting such importance on every game, which is what I love about it. I love the pageantry. I love the competition. I love the upsets. Watching the games, it's strange to see Oregon. I saw them finally. I still follow the Ducks as much as I can online and from your column, John. And I saw them. I got ESPN Player primarily so I can watch them play Auburn. So I stayed up until 4 in the morning watching them. And remember, it's remarkable. And I hate to say take some shots from 7,000 miles away because I obviously doesn't have a lot of credibility. But remember when they came out, they had that timeout with 4th-and-1.
Yes.
And they had the lead.
Yep.
And they came out. And after reading your stuff all of last year and talking to my Oregon friends who had the same comments that you made, I'm in Rome, Italy, 7,000 miles away. I haven't seen Oregon play since they played Ohio State in that national championship game, and I saw that from here on a fuzzy screen. I knew 7,000 miles away they were going to get stopped. And sure enough, they did. So as far as the Ducks go, I kind of agree with you. I really agree with your column on the Cal game, and they sound very, very predictable, and it astonishes me. Watching from afar, the Pac-12 quarterbacks are putting up some outrageous numbers, and Herbert is not one of them. That doesn't make any sense.
It's got to change. Friday night, they get Colorado. They're 124th ranked pass defense in the conference. We're talking to John Henderson, who is in Rome at 11:10 p.m. Rome time. College football, not on the radar. So what's big there? Soccer?
Oh, yeah. Soccer's it. There are two major sports newspapers here, Corriere dello Sport and La Gazzetta dello Sport. And they average about between 36 and 52 pages a day. And out of 36 pages, about 30 pages are soccer. It is astonishing. The beat writer for my AS Roma team, which is the team I've adopted here, he writes 3 or 4 stories a day, every day, and with no quotes because the players don't talk to the media. It's remarkable. The American media, the American reporters can't keep up with these guys. They can't. I couldn't. I was pumping out a lot of copy, and I'm sure you pumped out a lot of copy in your day too. Nothing compares to the Italian journalists. I mean, half of it's BS because they don't have any sources. No one talks. But the soccer is absolutely huge. Religion is a cliche. I hate to use that because they've kind of abused it. But it's more emotional here than it is in the States. Especially like in the Pac-12, when you lose, they can still go back to their jobs. But here people don't get just depressed like they do in a lot of places, like in the SEC. They get angry and they get volatile and they get violent. And the conflicts between fans, I mean, I'm an AS Roma fan. I'm a staunch fan. And Lazio fans are known as fascists, and we're known as murderers. We've killed 3 or 4 fans over my time here. And it's getting kind of out of hand. And also the problem with the soccer here and the fan groups here is the racism. The racism here is unlike you can't imagine. Americans can't imagine the racism that's going on in soccer here. There are so many incidents that they don't even make any news anymore. But here's one example. Last month, Inter Milan was playing at Cagliari, which is the capital of Sardinia. Inter Milan has this great Belgian star named Romelu Lukaku. He's a great Belgian star, great striker. He's lining up for a penalty kick right in front of the ultras of the Cagliari. Monkey sounds. And this is normal. This happens a lot. So Romelu kicks the penalty kick and walks off the field. He's pissed, and rightfully so. What happened next shocked me more than anything I've seen in soccer here. When they got back to Milan, he got a letter from the head of the Inter Milan fan group that did not apologize for the Cagliari fans. The fan group defended them. He said, look, they are not racist. They were just trying to throw you off your game. They were trying to make you miss the penalty kick. And besides, we're going to do the same thing when a black player lines up for a penalty kick against us.
Wow.
Now, how do you explain that to Americans? Can you imagine making monkey sounds for LeBron James? They made monkey sounds to LeBron James somewhere?
No. Kick the fans out of the arena. Ban them for life.
They fine clubs. Sometimes they'll make them play in front of an empty stadium. They've recently got to start using facial identification and kicking fans out for life. But I'll see it when I believe it. I'll believe it when I see it.
All right. You mentioned food, and we're talking again to John Henderson, formerly of the Denver Post. Now he's got a travel blog. Plug the blog as well.
It's called Dog Ear to Passport, johnhendersontravel.com.
All right.
And it's a collection of travel stories from my travels, my life in Rome, food, wine, little sports, and my passion for AS Roma and my anger about Italian soccer. Occasionally, when I come to America, I write about sports.
We talked about sports, but let's talk food and wine now. When I say that, food and wine, I'm coming to Rome. What are we eating? Where are we eating? What are we having?
Okay. Rome is not famous for its big fancy restaurants. I think you go to Milan for that. Rome is famous for its down-home, simple, small matriciana, which is guanciale. Spaghetti. Guanciale is like pig cheek. Tomatoes, onions, and then a pasta carbonara, which is kind of an egg-based pasta. Penne arrabbiata, which is the thin, tube-like pasta with chili powder and tomatoes. There's all kinds of Roman dishes. They're very simple because Rome, despite the reputation of being the most powerful empire in the history of mankind, was a very poor city for a couple millenniums, and they had to rely on simple products. So you'd eat. There's quite an array of Roman cuisine. Also, there's Roman street foods, such as tripa, which is tripe. The inner lining of this inner stomach lining of an unweaned calf. That's very popular here. But what you do is you go to little tiny trattorias, family run. Don't eat on the piazzas. You go on the little alleys behind them. You find all kinds of little tiny places. You'd eat gelato, which is the gelato here is like a third less calories than like Ben and Jerry's, half the calories depending on what you get. And it's remarkably consistent. I've been here 5.5 years, 7 in all, and I can count. I've had three bad meals here in all that time. You know, I mean, we have great. There's great food in America. There's great restaurants in Denver, where I'm from, but there's also a lot of bad ones. There aren't many bad ones in Rome.
John Henderson with us, formerly of the Denver Post. All right. Is it true that you're living with a beautiful Italian woman? What's the that's the scouting report I got.
No, I'm not living with her. No, I've been dating her for 4.5 years. And as long as her eyesight doesn't return, I'll be fine. But relationships are very different here. You meet people ways than they do in America. In America, you meet a lot of people online. You meet them in bars. Here, you meet them the old-fashioned Roman way, through friends. She was in a group of friends when I first moved here, and we got to know each other that way. We knew each other for about a year before we ever went out. This is not a bar town. It's a restaurant town. So you go out to restaurants with friends, and you eat all night, and you drink a little bit, and you get to know each other, and you meet friends, and you go to sometimes you'll go to Enotecas as a group, and Enotecas is a wine bar, and you meet people that way. Women here are Italian men tell me that the Italian women are not nearly as sexual as they dress, which is true. They're very conservative sexually. They're very mistrusting of men in general because nothing personal, John, because I know your heritage. Italian men are dogs. they cheat like crazy. Every Italian woman, every woman I know who's gone out with an Italian man has been burned by one. So they're very standoffish. The Italian men are frustrated because the women have become very independent. They don't need a man. They don't need to have children. They have their own jobs. They have their own apartment now. And the men basically kind of want a barista and a mother. One of my best friends is a 48-year-old Italian guy, and he lives with his mother still. And he makes good money. He just wants the free rent and likes to come and go as he please and likes to have his laundry done. And basically the women have evolved and the men have not. And so that causes a kind of a dating conundrum. So I'm glad I'm not in that mix anymore.
John Henderson is with us. All right. Are you moving back or is this forever?
Just forever. I'll never live in the States again. And I knew this. I mean, I tell people a big reason is, I know Donald Trump will hopefully leave next year, but his supporters will remain. And I really don't want to be around those supporters. But honestly, I can't imagine living anywhere but Italy. I just love this place. It's paradise. The people are so nice. It's the best food and wine in the world. It's the most beautiful city in the world. And they got a lot of problems. I mean, you know, but everybody, you know, every place has this, you know, civic embarrassments. I mean, Rome is the filthiest capital it's the dirtiest capital in Europe. It's rife with corruption. The mafia has their hands deep in the pockets. The public services don't work, but you know, in Oregon, you got Oregon State football, so it all evens out.
John Henderson, the travel around Europe, being in Rome, does it give you a chance to go see some other places?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been to 17 of the Italian regions, and since I've moved here, I've probably been to, you know, 12, 13, maybe 15 other countries. I mean, Rome is very centrally located, and because of the deregulated airlines, you can get places fast. I'm going to London for the World Travel Market in November. You know, I went to Central Asia. I went to Central Asia in May. The year before, I went to the Republic of Georgia. We spent New Year's Eve once in Morocco and Stockholm. My girlfriend took me to Beirut for my birthday. You know, Beirut's an hour and a half away. It's an hour and a half flight. And so it's very centrally located. The travel opportunities are unmatched. And in America, especially in the West, you got to fly so far to get any place out of the country that, you know, I can pick up and go someplace. I can go to Scandinavia in 72 hours notice.
Is there anything you miss about the States? Do you miss ice cubes? Do you miss television in America?
I miss three things. I miss Barack Obama. I miss my jacuzzi in my condo. I had a great jacuzzi in my condo in Denver. I miss live comedy. I was a big comedy club maven. I love food. I don't really miss much. I have, there's plenty of ice. There's plenty of ice now in Rome. That hasn't changed. Occasionally, I miss a good steak. Rome is not very good with ethnic food. I mean, when Italians go out, they eat Italian food. But I travel so much, I get all the authentic ethnic food I want. So, no, there's really nothing in America I miss that I can't live without.
You miss the Pac-12?
I miss football. Yeah, I miss game day. I'd love to go to another tailgate party. My girlfriend knows nothing about college football, and she knows nothing about American sports. She keeps calling the ducks the entree, which is Italian for ducks. But she wants to go to a tailgate party. I show her a photo. I took a photo of ESPN Game Day. They had a scene of a tailgate party. I sent her the photo of all the ribs, the chicken, and all the festivities. And she wants to go to one. I miss Game Day in Boulder. Boulder is a great. If you've never been there, Boulder is a fantastic place to watch a football game. I miss rainy days at Autzen Stadium because I grew up with that. I loved going to, I loved walking around UCLA's campus, and I love USC's stadium at night, Memorial Coliseum. I love the style of play in the Pac-12. And I love the perspective the Pac-12 has. When I was an ex college football writer, I don't know if you spent much time in the South, John, but the SEC is just, it just oozes, not corruption, but it's just too serious. You know, I mean, the Dirt Road alumni has more power than a lot of the boosters do. And I kind of like the fact that if a Pac-12 team starts stinking, their attendance drops. Well, that's because they have other things, 20,000 empty seats, because there's a lot of things to do in Colorado. You know, there's a lot of things to do in Oregon when Oregon State stinks. You know, when Cal loses, they go out and drink some Chardonnay in the parking lot. They're okay. I enjoyed that outlook on college athletics, which is I've always been proud to be from the West and to have where education was still more important than athletics, and that the fan base was more – the fan base had things in perspective where they would not – I don't think would accept cheating – as a price you got to pay for winning. I think that's a lot less there than it is in the SEC. In the SEC, they kill whistleblowers. I don't think they do that in the Pac-12.
John Henderson, we wish you the best, man. I love checking in with you every once in a while. Give people a taste of Rome. Ciao, my friend.
Okay, take care, man. See you.
There he is, formerly of the Denver Post. Quit it all. Moved away.
That's beautiful.
If, let's just say a genie could appear today in the lives of all of our listeners and in this radio show, Alabama Adriana to Peter, and you could move somewhere. Doesn't have to be out of the country, but you could move somewhere else and live the life that John Henderson's living. He said, I don't want to be a sports reporter anymore. University of Oregon grad. Working at the Denver Post, could have stayed there a long time, decided that he'd walk away from it all. He went to Rome because he knew what Rome was. Where's that place for you? 503-417-7575. You tell me.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.